Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. This is The Final Straw, and I'm Burst of Goodness. The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, WCRSLP in Columbus, Ohio, and Berkeley Liberation Radio in California. Archives of the show can be found at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org a week after broadcast, and are podcasting at radioforall.net. If you have ideas or questions, or would like your local radio station to pick up the show, you can email us at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net or write us a letter addressed to The Final Straw, care of Asheville FM, 864 Haywood Road, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806. This week's episode features a conversation with Francesca. Francesca is a student at the University of Bologna in Italy and is one of the people at the center of a wave of repression in response to ongoing autonomous organizing inside and outside of the university. The University of Bologna is the oldest continuously operated public university in the world. Francesca is also a member of the Hobo Collective, which runs an autonomous social space inside of the Poli-Sci department. In December of last year, after numerous marches and interventions around the city and university on a range of issues such as immigrants' rights, precarity of employment, underpaying of the university workers, increased cost and decreased quality of services at the university, affordable housing, the censure of political dialogue, and more, the district attorney of Bologna had Francesca and five other comrades arrested as a preventative measure in order to stop their organizing and to terrorize the students and militants of the area. Four students have been placed on house arrest in Bologna, making it quite difficult to make ends meet economically, and two were exiled from the city, thus cutting short their educational career. In response, a campaign called, quote, hashtag Libertà di Dimora, that's LibertaDiDimora, which translates to freedom of home, was launched to respond to the repression of the six comrades and to continue struggles around freedom of movement and housing issues inside and outside of the university. For the hour, we'll be speaking with Francesca about her case, the campaign, the Autonomia movement, which Hobo is aligned with, the monetization of education, precarity, internships, immigration in Italy, squatting, and more. But first, a few announcements. In the wake of the tragic murder of nine African-American Bible study members on June 17, 2015, at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, by a white supremacist, there was an outpouring of grief and solidarity expressed around the world. This was followed by a series of protests and the direct action removal of the Confederate battle flag from the Capitol grounds in Columbia, South Carolina. The pressure built in other southern states to remove the CSA battle flag from their state flags, resulting in blowback from some white folks to the removal of this quote-unquote heritage symbol. That means oppression to so many others. Subsequent to the killings and flag debates, at least six black churches were torched between June 22nd and June 29th around the southeast. Churches were in Knoxville, Tennessee, Macon, Georgia, Charleston, South Carolina, Elyria, Ohio, not in the south, and Tallahassee, Florida. To top this, and never to lose an opportunity to display their pointy heads, the Ku Klux Klan has decided to call for a rally on the steps of the South Carolina State House on July 18th at 3 p.m. And just as the racists will be coordinating to show up at the rally, so are anti-racists and regular folks from around the region. There are all sorts of calls for participation in all sorts of ways to counter a public display of hatred by the KKK. I hope to see you all there. In a perfect segue, the next evening, Sunday, July 19th of 2015, folks are invited to come to the new location of Firestorm Books and Cafe at 610 Haywood Road for a presentation by Sarah Lee Stafford and Neil Shirley on their book, Dixie Be Damned, 300 Years of Insurrection in the American South. For our conversation with Shirley and Stafford, check out thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org and search the title. A reminder to listeners with graphic talents, we're soliciting designs for stickers, posters, and more. The artists whose designs are selected will receive a few prizes from our free boxes, actually some t-shirts and literature that are quite nice. In the graphic, we're looking to see the name of the show, our website, and images that may reflect the project. We're also hoping that it can be a tool for better advertising of the project and getting more folks involved. You can email designs to us in PDF format or send them in a physical form to Asheville FM. Finally, I'd like to give a brief shout out to some other audio and video projects that have been kicking out the jams of late. If you're familiar with The Final Straw, you may have heard some of their names on our fourth anniversary show last year. Check out Free Radical Radio at freeradicalradio.net for a mostly weekly mix of commentary, comedy, critique, and always witty repartee. For great action updates, audio documentaries, reviews, and more, CrimeThink's podcast called The Ex-Worker is not to be missed. You can find episodes at crimethink.com/podcast, along with links and transcripts of the episodes. Which Side Podcast, which features hosts Jeremy Parkin and Jordan Halliday, who owes me a hug, did a great interview with Kevin Van Meter, contributor to the book Life During Wartime. Regular episodes feature chats on anarchism, activism, animal liberation, veganism, and more. Info on that project can be found at whichsidepodcast.com. Finally, I want to give a shout out to The Stimulator and his effing show, It's the End of the World We Know It and I Feel Fine. It's a perfect site for riot porn, interviews, commentaries, updates, and stunning images and movie references. More from that project can be found at submedia.tv. I'd also like to announce a few shows that have just come onto the air here at Asheville FM. First off, Versus Radio with DJ Kutsu, Thursdays 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, a mixture of turntablism, hip-hop, breakbeats, and more. Next is Bury Your Head, which is Saturdays from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. It's a mixture of metal, punk, goth, darkwave, post-rock, soul, R&B, blues, Americana, with political commentary mixed into it. Finally, Outside Voices, Wednesdays from 12 to 2 a.m. It's a freeform show. Let's see, from their description. Do you feel heard? Are your tastes and sensibilities well represented in everyday media? Us neither. We're not cocky enough to think we'll fill the gap, but we will do our best to share what's soothing our gaping cosmic wounds. Join us for tunes for and from Glorious Underdogs, Focused Hermits, Ecstatic Kooks, Fringe Friends Everywhere. Be it sound from nether motherlands, digital gnashing you can dance to, or chats about various eccentrics, we hope you find respite here and feel free to get queerer with each listen. Wednesdays, 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called Outside Voices with DJs Mission Control and Harness. What you say, what you say, what you say,
what? Record like a bomb! The Invisible Committee published The Coming Insurrection in 2007, right before the entire planet erupted in insurrections. From Greece to the Arab Spring, South America to Occupy, it would seem that the Invisible Committee saw something coming that the rest of us didn't see. The coming insurrection arrived, and by all indications, it isn't going anywhere anytime soon. In June 2015, the Invisible Committee follows up The Coming Insurrection with the release of their latest, To Our Friends. It appears on four continents, translated into eight languages. MIT Press is putting it out at a probable price of just $13.95, wherever quality books are stolen. Someone was kind enough to forward to me an uncorrected page proof while I was on complete communications black site status at a maximum security prison, again demonstrating why I don't feel safe in these jackwagons protecting the public. And since it was totally impossible for me to get any communication out to the outside world, you know, like this radio segment you're listening to right now, I decided to lay around for a couple of days and read this advanced copy of The Invisible Committee's latest. Having read it, I have a prediction to make. If just half of the people who read The Coming Insurrection read To Our Friends, the entire control system that exploits us right now will collapse within 5 days. We have to give it 5 days, you know. Some people read slower than others. This picks up where The Coming Insurrection left off, declaring, quote, the insurrections have come, finally, quote, and, quote, stability is finished, end quote. An observation taken from the book, quote, an insurrection can erupt at any time, for any reason, and lead anywhere. The ruling politicians walk among the abysses. Their own shadows appear to threaten them, end quote. Good stuff, right? As the Invisible Committee argues, we live in a new era where the insurrection has become the new normal, where even a few politicians try to pay lip service to this pervasive phenomenon of refusal and hostility. Another observation from the book, quote, but however great the disorders of this world may be, the revolution always seems to choke off at the riot stage. At best, A regime change satisfies for an instant the need to change the world, only to renew the same dissatisfaction, end quote. Yeah, something we've seen occur again and again. The reality of deposing Mubarak in Egypt that leads in the end to a military coup. Or how the Occupy movement in the U.S. was crushed before a full-blown revolution could take shape. So, the Invisible Committee challenges us to see the situations we face from another perspective, to view the insurrections as part of a continuity. They write, quote, "What is happening in the world since 2008 isn't an incoherent series of crazy outbursts occurring suddenly in hermetically sealed countries. It's a single historical sequence unfolding in strict unity of place and time from Greece to Chile. And only a distinctive global perspective can capture its significance," end quote. Accordingly, however localized an insurrection, quote, "every insurrection gestures beyond itself," end quote. This makes every insurrectionist a member in a, quote, "diffuse conspiracy," end quote. Exciting stuff. So the folks who accurately predicted the explosion of insurrections now present a vision of how they see this method of resistance evolving in the not-so-distant future, one that we can bring about together, just as soon as we get done reading to our friends.
This is Anarchist Prisoner Sean Swing from Ohio Supermax Facility. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain 243-205, P.O. Box 45699, 1724 State Route, number 728, Lucasville, Ohio, 45699. To read some of Sean's writing and learn more about his case, check out seanswain.org. Would you please introduce yourself to the listening audience? What's your name and where are you located?
Hello, my name is Francesca. I'm 20 years old and live in Bologna in Italy. And I'm at the first year of political science at university because last year the philosophy didn't change. I'm a militant and I took part, starting from last year, to political activity here in Bologna with the collective in which I am, Herbo. And that's it. I'm now staying at home because I've got like precautionary measure against me, and so it's 1 month I'm constricted here in home.
And can you tell people about what's going on in your city, and in particular at the University of Bologna?
Okay, so here in Italy, in general, we've got the PD party that rules on us, and here in Bologna, we still have the PD party. So what we noticed this year is that what happens here in Bologna immediately then actually happens in a more general plan in all Italy. The University of Bologna is characterized by the rapidity in which it applies the reforms that the government is.
Before you go further with that, can you describe what the PD party is and how it relates to the other parties and the city of Bologna and the area that you're in?
So the PD party is the party that rules now on all Italy because it has the majority on government, and it rules here in Bologna because it won the last regional elections. In Italy, we have Renzi as a frontman. Here in Bologna, we've got Merola, that is our leader here. And the interesting part is that inside the university, we've got the headmaster of the university is actually trying to become the city...
The mayor?
Yes, exactly. We still don't know if he will become it, but he's trying to. And we all have elections next year. So this is interesting, especially because we can see how government politics are then applied also in university, because they have the consents of our headmaster here and of Merola, who is the PD frontman here in Bologna. What's happening is that this party is gaining altogether all the parts of the system of power which we fight against. And so it's becoming a sort of a national party. A national party because this party doesn't worry about the legitimacy he has in through the population or about trying to maintaining this, but actually rules as it wants, because he doesn't find an opposition, an institutional opposition. He only finds the population opposition, which he has decided in the last month to totally to repress using police. We usually find police inside big demonstrations in Italy. It's actually unusual to find this amount of police inside universities. What we had last year here in Bologna is the example of how they are trying to change the way they react to demonstration, to contestation. Also, in a more general way, the way they are reacting to whoever tries to bring a different discussion, a different way of seeing things. What we can see here in Italy, here in Bologna, is that whatever place is created to try and confront one with another, to try and build something different, something that is actually a necessity to the more people that live the city, that live the university, they only react with sending the police. Sending the police that will just then kick whoever is in, finds it itself in front of a place or inside the university, inside a debate, and in general.
Can you give a few examples of the sorts of how that manifests and what sort of struggles you've been operating around?
Here in Bologna, the struggles that we are fighting are inside the logistic area. Then are inside university, and what we started as a collective this year, but is actually quite frequent and popular here in Italy, is the struggle for occupations of houses, because this is becoming like a huge problem here in Italy. People don't have works, so then they can't pay the rent, and they go and they occupy, because, I mean, you have no other solution. Usually, if families occupy, the reaction was of a certain species. So they would try to help you, they would try to understand where's your problem. Just like a week ago, there was this big occupation here in Bologna made by another reality that struggles against the system of power here in Bologna. And it was like evicted in less than 1 hour. So it was everything was really quickly and really violent in more than one situation. And this is for like the house struggle. And it's something strange because it usually doesn't happen. In university, we are more used to find the police. But what's happening now is that, the reason because I'm constricted here in home is because we went to a demonstration, to a debate that was inside university. We wanted to just go inside and tell that the minister that was presenting her program in university shouldn't be there, shouldn't be telling us things. We found the police inside university. We got kicked out. And now we are actually condemned for what we did. So this gives like, a certain, pattern to what's going on here. Because we had like last month, this is good. So we have the PD party all year has like parties in all over the cities they went. Okay, in this situation, we have like, ministers going there, having debates. We've got people that just goes there and listen to music, and it's all like a sort of festival of the PD party. This year, the festival was here in Bologna, and it was empty. Because, the party is starting to lose all the consensus he had acquired in the last years. So the party was empty. We went there, we found police, and we got kicked out once. Because this festival lasted more than one day, was like 2 weeks, we had the opportunity to go there more than one time. And after we went the first time, we noticed that police was standing in front of all entrances and actually going through bags of people, touching them, trying to see if they had guns, if they had weapons and stuff like that. So, what we can see is that they are actually totally scared because they know that the politics they're applying on people's life aren't correct. But the only response they're giving to this is just shut up. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to try and talk, and you don't have to come here and contest us. What is actually under attack here is not like our just freedom of movement, in the sense that I can't go, I can't get out of my home, but is that is the fact that whoever tries to bring a different speech. What I'm trying to say is that it's not like something actually changed in the actions that the movement is bringing on here in Bologna and the realities that usually struggle and fights in the streets, in the play, that demonstrations and stuff like that, they changed something. The only thing that changed is the reaction of our enemy that is certainly scared and that doesn't know how to keep in control what's going on.
Just to clarify, for yes. the listening audience, more specifically,
yes,
it's okay. No, so there's increased repression of dissent as... which seems to be happening throughout Europe, and not surprisingly, it just happens, especially during times of economic seizure like is going on right now. But the PD is Partito Democratico. It's a yes. leftist party that's acting as a recuperative agent of these movements, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about Hobo Laboratorio de Sapere Comuni?
Yes. Sorry. Okay. So Hobo is... collective mostly, in which there are university students, but also worker and researchers. Hobo was born 2 years ago with the occupation of an abandoned place inside a campus here in Bologna. Was evicted more than once, at least four times. And Hobo tries to stay in a certain way in and against the university. In the sense that it brings forward projects inside the different faculties with the building of debates and trying to produce actually different knowledge, a knowledge that isn't the one that is written on the books they make us study. What we noticed staying inside university is that students are actually totally unsatisfied of the level of the university here in Bologna. They maybe don't actually go in the middle of the streets or come to demonstration, but they're really interested in the construction of a more critical knowledge. So here in university, we bring forward projects with students. And we had like this important struggle last year with the workers of university. Because here in Italy, I don't know if you know it, but there is this strange cooperative system that was born as a left-handed thing to help workers. So the thing is, you cooperate in the sense that you all are equal in this association that we can create. What happened now is that this cooperative system only helps to unpay workers. Here in Bologna, workers in university were paid €2.8 per hour because of this thing that they work under a cooperative and not under a really society. And so last year we have this big struggle here in university that was great because we had the possibility to actually come in contact with workers and try to recompose that distance students between workers, trying to bring the thing that our being with workers wasn't only for solidarity, but because we understand that the fact that they take now €2.8 per hour will probably happen to us and is the consequence of the same model of exploitation. And this is what we try to bring forward inside university. So trying to come more in contact with students and to actually mobilitate students against what the University of Bologna has now become. So what we find is that we don't have the possibility anymore to choose actually what subjects we are going to study in mostly faculties. We keep on paying more and more taxes, but we don't have in response services that are high quality services. Here in Bologna, we have most of the most expensive canteen in all Italy. And the last year we struggled against this thing that we had to pay €7 for maybe just a lunch. And this year what's actually happened is that the university has opened another canteen with the same society that made us pay €7 per lunch. So what we're trying to say is that the decisions that who organized the University of Bologna, so we have headmaster, but then all the other cased, the decision that they take aren't made for students, but just for money in most of the cases. Then, because we know that the University of Bologna early tries to experiment what's going on in a more general way, we fight outside university, mostly in the logistics, but also in the struggle for home and with occupation. So we try to organize the forms of resistance to evictions in little villages here near Bologna, but also in Bologna. And we occupied with a little group of students twice this year. We were evicted, but it was a nice experimentation, because the thing is that here in Italy most occupations are made by families and by migrants, just because they are the first that actually accuse the crisis, accuse this crisis. But the thing is that also students can't pay the rent anymore, because here in Bologna rents are coming more and more expensive. And so we found like this group of students that were happy to try and occupy and try to live this occupation as a struggle, not just as I'm taking a home and I'm not paying. The thing was like, you go and occupy, you try and you analyze why you are occupying, what you're fighting against, who you're fighting against, and you try to create a mechanism that could be then reproduced by others. We've been evicted twice, and we don't know if next year we're going to occupy again, but I guess so, I think so, and in some ways I hope so. Then, this year we had the great opening of the Expo in Milan, I guess you heard. So loads of work was done analyzing the free job, how free job would be declined after Expo in Milan and when Expo in Milan finishes, because what happened with Expo is that free job has been normalized and has been institutionalized. So what my generation is going to fight against will not be just precarity in the sense that you don't find a job that lasts more than 3 months, but will be the fact that we will probably go look for jobs and they will offer us, you can come and work here, but we're not going to pay you. It's not free job, it's an unpaid job. It's actually an oxymoron and shouldn't exist.
So I'm forgetting the word in English, but it's basically like an internship, you would say in English, maybe, where you go and you work for a while.
It's an internship, but the thing is that we already have it inside university, as it's in the USA, I guess. But the thing that scares is that the internship is becoming a proper job. So you can actually go and sign contracts in which you sign the fact that you're not being paid for the job you're doing. And they try to say that it's for your formation and will help you understand what means working, etc., etc. But I mean, if you're 30 years old and you still haven't got a job and you just apply for jobs that tell you we're going to help you in your we're going to help you by how do you say it? By teaching you how you have to work here, and we're not paying you. The problem is like, okay, how do I live? And the thing is that this contract has actually passed through syndicates and through the government, and they actually passed this Jobs Act that legalized unpaid job.
So we're talking about the oldest continuously operating university in the world, right? That's the University of Bologna. Yes. As a public university.
Yes.
Can you talk about, I mean, this stuff has been happening, I'm sure, in universities around the world. It definitely, when I was going to college in California, this was a tendency that was just increasing and increasing, but the corporate structure being applied to monetizing every aspect of one's experience and increasing costs of education, Can you talk about like any like internalized structural things that have pushed the neoliberalization of higher education? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Sorry, it's a lot of jargon. So if I ever say too much jargon.
I know. So I think the situation here in Italy, because we have like this longer tradition of public university, public schools, and because we had all the struggles in the 70s, the problem is that it's actually a lot hiding up. I mean, the fact that the university is public, and if you see the taxes we pay, they're actually not that high, okay? So, because like I pay 1,500 euros at year, and it's actually not that much compared to other university. The problem is that what we can see now is that our taxes are remaining the same, and actually they are becoming more and more expensive. So from since last year, I'm already paying 100 euros more this year. So I can only think that till the time I get the degree, I don't know how much it will be. But the thing is that you pay that much, you don't get nothing in response to you, and you don't have a student welfare state in a certain way. Here in Bologna, I'm from Piacenza, that is another city. So I live here in Bologna as a student, but I don't have like a doctor with the university. I can't go outside and just have lunch outside because I don't have commodities, because I am a student and I actually don't have money to spend. Lessons and also like just the structures are becoming more and more older, and also like they're starting to fall apart in not a metaphorical but an actual way. We have like more than one cases here in Italy, in the north and in the south, in which we have universities that fall apart from all ways you can talk. What we are going to have next year is even more scary, because we already had a reform in high school, and now this high school reform is going to be applied also in universities. And this reform gives, obviously it will cut money to university. Then the thing is that it will insert this. Okay, so they're trying to put this meritocracy logic also in universities, and they're saying that the university, more meritocratic, I guess, will have more money from the state. Less meritocratic university will have less money. The thing is that this policy only.
It's classist, for one thing.
yes. Okay. Yes, that's easier. It's certainly classist, and that's easier. And so we're having all of this next year, probably will happen. Now they're talking this in the government, and they're going to do a new reform that will make things even worse than they are now. We don't have job places for new people trying to, I don't know, become a teacher or stuff like that. And we have the old places cut down in the payment they are receiving. What also they're doing right now is that they are unifying all the contracts. So you don't have a differentiation between what you actually the work you actually do and the pay you actually receive. For the state, you all do the same work and you all get paid at the same, and obviously it's the less they can pay you, legally talking.
Is the movement that Hobo is involved with aligned with any specific political tendencies or any formalized labor organizations?
Autonomy.
Okay. Can you give a brief explanation for folks like who don't know the Italian context for Autonomia?
Yes. Okay. So Autonomia was born during the 70s, and it's like the extra institutional movement that took part against the old Communist Party. Since then, things obviously are changed, but the ideas and in certain ways the methods and the actions we do now, they come actually from the past. So we had like a potere operaio, lotta continua, and stuff like that. Because here in Italy we had this like big movement in the 70s, and we had like the Communist Party and the institutional part, and then the extra institutional part, in which was in which the movement was actually born. And then we have the 77 and stuff like that. Autonomia means that we don't recognize the institutions. I don't know how to say it.
I mean, you would describe it as like generally it's horizontalist. It is anti-capitalist.
Yes.
And
anti-sexist. Yes. Sorry.
Cool. Cool. And if you want to go down that list more too, of more things that it's anti.
Anti-capitalist, anti-sexist. It's in which we see it. It tries to stay in and against things in the sense that. For example, we do use media mainstream. We do use all the tools we have to fight against, but we are not ideological in that sense. Okay, so the thing is that we take into consideration the situation we are in, and we try to change the situation we are in. We won't say like, I know, you know what, that demonstration is actually, it seems a little bit, I don't know, right-handed or stuff like that, so we're not going. We'll probably just try and go and change the demonstration in which we're taking part. Altre cose sull'autonomia? Qualcosa sull'autonomia? Sì, autonomia. Tipo da dove viene, dagli anni 70, extra parlamentare, antisessista, anticapitalista?
Extra parlamentare, cioè in generale l'organizzazione dei contropoteri autonomi, non so come si dice, contropoteri autonomi, che cioè comunque la cosa principale è che seguiva la via non istituzionale.
Okay, okay, sorry, so I was just trying like to also, because we have, I've got another comrade here with me, so I'm also, I was trying to ask him if he has something to say. The sense of autonomia. I think more or less this is the thing. It's the thing that you don't recognize institution, you're anti-capitalist, anti-sexist, anti... and this is the pattern we're trying to follow.
Thanks so much. Can you talk about how, like, this sort of, like, holding a tension while organizing within institutions and outside of institutions at the same time, like what, how that relates to and what sort of work on critical knowledge with students and with workers and immigrants that Hobo has been doing, what it kind of looks like? Does that question make sense?
Yes, I think that you learn a lot by doing things and by finding yourself into different situations. You learn especially like why people start fighting. I mean, what I think is really important, and what we learned from the logistics and from also the struggle inside university is that you can find people that will start fighting for a reason you wouldn't think of. Okay, so our learning and our trying to producing a different knowledge and a more critical knowledge usually helps us understanding the more general situation and being able then to explain the situation to others that actually maybe don't know it or aren't as sure as some of us can be. The thing is that we all know that alone we don't know enough and we are not good enough and we can't do enough. And so what we try to do by talking between each other with the assemblies and also the debates we organize with comrades that come from all over Italy and the world. The thing is that Hobo relates a lot and does a lot of things with this other reality that is commonware. You can actually find the website and it has quite a bit of essays in English because inside commonware there are also comrades from, I don't know, Spain, USA, France. Yes, I remember Paris. Yes, I remember Paris and stuff like that. And what we try to do is to learn from them and then try to explain things. The thing of not being inside institutions is that for us it seems non-logical to look for the recognition from institutions who we are fighting with. So what we are trying to do is produce something that can be different. The thing is that the majority of people obviously sees in the institution something good, because if the institution exists, usually it should be because they exist for the people that create it. What we can see right now is that we have a huge space between what the institution understands and what the institution does for the people and what the people actually live. I think that, so what I'm trying to say is that what we've seen in the last month is police everywhere, also in front of the city hall, the common and stuff like that. This image doesn't scare or doesn't say anything except for the fact that we keep on seeing how institutions can't and don't want to understand in which situation people find themselves. So the thing is that we have crisis here in Italy since, I don't know, 2008, the worldwide crisis and stuff like that. But the crisis is becoming more and more effective on people. This doesn't mean that people will actually start fighting against who made the crisis this bad. What we learned with the struggles, with the logistics and inside university is that people start fighting for different reasons. Those reasons usually can come from critical knowledge. So you can just say, you know what, you should actually be paid, I don't know, 5 euros. You know what, it's actually your right to do this. You know what, our headmaster takes, I don't know, 500 euros per student, per taxes and stuff like that. The thing that is happening here in Italy, and I think all over worldwide, is that we've got a lot of false information, and we've got media mainstream that stands with this false information, and so our what we are trying to do becomes more and more difficult, because you first have to give the correct information, you then have to convince people, and you then have to fight with a form, with something in which everybody can actually recognize himself. Was it clear?
Like an organization? Like you have to come together into some formalized grouping that operates on the same level as states or institutions, sort of?
I mean, yeah, I think that that can be applied to the movement. Now, Hobo is a little collective. I mean, we're like 30 people. Okay, so we probably won't be that type of organization. What we are trying to do is stand between the institution and the people. I mean, we have institution, we have police, but between this, we've got like all the people who which we are trying to relate with. And the thing is trying to get in relationship with them, to understand them, that are then the same of us, and trying to understand what makes people fight.
To get back to the hashtag Libertad de Mora, can you talk about, and am I butchering that hashtag?
No, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Can you talk about what actions the district attorney of Bologna took against Francesco, Ivan, Gigi Parvis, and yourself, and how did they justify those cases?
So what happened 2 months ago, starting from now, is that firstly, to our comrades that are both students here in Bologna, were obligated to leave Bologna because they were involved in the eviction of a place that was occupied from our collective in September. During this eviction, we had police standing in front of us, and they charged us 3 times. We then went, we got evicted, obviously. We then went to the place in which the headmaster usually stays here of the University of Bologna, because the occupation was inside a campus of the university. So what we were asking is that the headmaster took a position inside what was going on that day. One of the two that then got sent away from Bologna was actually arrested that day. We had this big manifestation. There were more than 3,000 students in the streets of Bologna, and he was then liberated. What they gave to Parvis and Loris, that are the two comrades in that got sent away from Bologna, is this divieto di dimora. That actually means that you have to go away from the city It's a precautionary measure in the sense that you haven't been condemned yet. They're only saying we've got this material against you and we condemn you precautionary because you can be dangerous. The thing is that these measures were initially used during the fascism here in Italy, and they were before against political activities. Then they started to be used against, I don't know if you had violence in families, because the fact is that you don't have to be condemned, and the logic that stands behind this is because you can be dangerous for your family, the quickest we can, we send you away. The thing that they have been used in the last month, not only here in Bologna, but also in Milan, in Turin, in Cremona, and in Palermo, against political actions is scary because it's something that shouldn't actually happen. We had first this two comrades sent away, then other six were obligated to stay inside home. That is even more
restrictive.
Yes, yes. You have like you can be sent to jail. Then they obligate you to stay at home, or they send you away from your city. This is like the graduation of the condemned they can give you. Six of us so are here in home since 1 month, and how we respond to this by building this campaign, Libertà di Dimora, that means freedom of not movement. Dimora means
home.
Yes,
okay.
Sorry, freedom.
That's okay. I just looked it up online.
I also was doing that. freedom of home. And the campaign isn't built only by Hubble, only by this collective, but also from others that other realities here in Bologna. What the campaign wants to do is to respond to enemies saying, we perfectly know that who has been condemned precautionary hasn't done what you say. That's true. We actually did do those things for which they have put us in here in home. But the thing is that the fact that we've been sent here in home is too much for what we actually did. So what we are seeing is that these precautionary measures are being used to try to stop, since the beginning, the possibility of generalizing and radicalizing a discussion that is dangerous for our enemy. The campaign is moving in different ways. So in obviously in a legal way, in the fact that we speak with lawyers and we will go to our process and stuff like that. But also in a more important and effective other way, that is the fact that we're contacting writers, we're contacting singers, bands, and stuff like that. We make them read the call we made to everyone to tell that under attack isn't only the freedom of our six or the freedom of those two in Milan or those two in Palermo, but under the attack is the possibility to actually fight against the system. To actually bring a discussion that is different from the one they want to give. We already had a good response in the sense that loads of writers signed the call of the campaign and came here in Bologna to organize debates with citizens It also started from them, the fact to like asking the headmaster to take a word and to take a position against what's happening to five students and a researcher. And we are planning a big manifestation here in Bologna in September that wants to be a call to all the movement here in Italy and wants to be an answer against these precautionary measures that are becoming more and more used here in Italy since the 1st of May in Expo. We already had before Expo in Milan cases of precautionary measures given to other comrades, both in Milan and in Cremona, and we now have them here in Bologna. So we have our six other two people, and then there have been 10 fogli di via, that is an administrative measure that tells you you have to leave the city even if you are a student. It's a little bit different from the one that has been given to us because it comes from a different... It's been given by the police and not by the tribunal?
Judges?
Yes. By judges, yes. It's different in that sense. It's like when you get a ticket for your car, okay? Trying to make you understand the thing.
Mm-hmm.
In general, what we're seeing is that here in Bologna, because Bologna is a city mostly made of students, because students are the majority of subjects that take part in demonstrations, using precautionary measure can be dangerous because it can actually stop every form of conflict here in the city. So what we're trying to do is generalize our specific situation and demonstrating and explaining people that it's not like we did something so dangerous that we have to go to jail, stuff like that. The thing is that what they are doing to us is trying to go against only 5 people, 6 people, 10 people, and educate 100 of people. So what we're trying to say is, you know what? What you're doing doesn't work because the collective still exists, because people still fight, and because it's not like you can just put someone into jail and then the idea he was bringing on will end up. The idea will still go on, the fight will still go on, hope still exists, and will still exist next year.
It's great to hear that you're addressing the potential. In English, we use this term chilling effect. There's a legal term in American law. So the language around demonstrations in Bologna, around the right to travel and live where one wants, seems to bring many references to the Schengen zone, immigration, Fortress Europe, and Frontex. For listeners in North America, can you talk about freedom of movement, immigration, and restrictions in Europe and in Italy in particular, and how folks have been struggling in Bologna?
Okay, so the situation we have here in Italy, the recent situation is that we've got loads of migrants that try to come here in Italy, probably also just to go to France or to travel somewhere else, but they need to stop here in Italy. What we had here in Italy was more than one reform that tried and actually pretended to give rights to migrants. Firstly, with the left-handed party, then with the right-handed party. What we have as a conclusion to all of this reform is that, formally speaking, so legally speaking, if someone comes here in Italy, even if he doesn't have a regular pass, even if he doesn't have a regular pass, should have all the right of an Italian citizen. What we are seeing here in the last 2 weeks in the situation in Ventimiglia, in the confine, is actually loads of migrants coming without a regular pass and Italy not being able to respond to this emergency. In the sense that what Italy is saying is, no, you have to go back home because we can't keep you. What migrants are saying is, no, we want to stay here because we come from places in which there are wars, just saying words that we probably created and stuff like that. And the European Union, France in particular, isn't responding to this ask of help made by Italy. Folks and the movement obviously responds, answers, criticizing the how money are being used in Italy and the fact that human rights are actually being are actually not being given to these people. We had this a big demonstration last Saturday in Ventimiglia. in which comrades from all Italy and also just people that were solidarizing with migrants went to the confine and tell and and then spoke out loud the fact that these people have to be that Italy must let these people come inside Italy. We had like big demonstration of solidarity everywhere here in Milan, as in Ventimiglia, because people from houses are starting going and giving, I don't know, food, clothes, water to migrants that are occupying behind occupying just beside the sea. As a protest, as a form of protest, and they are saying that they're not willing to go back home. Again, also in this situation, the only answer of the government was to send the police. We have the videos that prove the violence that the police used against migrants. And what we have again is that the will of the government to not take responsibilities for what's going on and the will of the European Union to pretend that nothing is going on at all.
There's the case of University of California, San Diego, La Jolla. The Che Cafe is an autonomous space that's been around for 25 years that's under immediate threat of eviction. And I was wondering, as someone who's facing repression right now in relation to not only a social center and a bunch of evicted housing and social centers in Bologna, if you had any words that you wanted to express to comrades out there.
Yes. Well, what I can only say is just like to keep on resisting. What I wanted to say is like, I guess repression exists everywhere in the world and exists since everywhere, since whenever we can think about it. The only answer we can give to repression is in some ways, keep on doing what we did before and trying to probably change maybe things we did before and to understand that the situation keeps on changing. Doing this with determination without being scared of the consequences that this could have in the lives of who actually goes and occupies or take part to demonstration, because I think that living a life without trying to change things would be probably not living a life and would probably make them win. I don't know, to comrades there, I can only say that being my situation here and constricted in home, the only thing that makes me think, okay, no, I'm actually fine and this isn't a problem is if I feel myself sad or if I feel myself without power, I just make the enemy win. So whatever we can do is just keep on fighting, going on, stay totally united, understanding that without the others, we actually don't count anything in this world. And, well, just keep on doing what they've been doing till now.
And besides attending the September demonstration, how do you feel that listeners hearing your words can offer solidarity to hashtag Libertà di Demora?
You can do it in every way you want to. You can take a picture with the hashtag Libertà di Demora, or if you want to like write a few words on the situation here in Italy, if you understood something, you can actually find the call in English that if I wasn't able enough to explain it on the Facebook page. And whatever contribute will be we will be thankful for whatever contribute you can give in different ways and forms.
Besides the Facebook page, are there any places that English speakers should look for information and keep up on what's going on?
Okay, so I'm sure that on our website, hobobologna.info, you can find some essays in English. And find more material, you can go to another website, the one I spoke before, that is commonwealth.org. And there you can find some essays in English, and the majority of the political line of Hobo comes from Commonwealth, so you can understand more or less what we are doing and why we're doing it.
Francesca, thank you so much for speaking with me about this and taking the time. And it's late where you are and you're not feeling very well. But I hope you get really good sleep and I hope you feel a lot better and hope you get out of your house soon.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.
Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. This is The Final Straw and I'm Burst of Goodness. The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, WCRSLP in Columbus, Ohio, and Berkeley Liberation Radio in California. Archives of the show can be found at thefinalstarradio.noblogs.org a week after broadcast and are podcasting at radioforall.net. If you have ideas or questions or would like your local radio station to pick up the show, you can email us at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net or write us a letter addressed to The Final Straw, care of Asheville FM, 864 Haywood Road, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806. If you're listening live, stay tuned to WSFMLP 103.3 in Asheville for DJ Jake and Onward Through the Fog.